This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We don't have to demonize each other just because we disagree, and that's going to end. It's time for people to be able to pick up the phone and get on the radio and talk about local issues on local radio, and that's what this is about.
This is Charlottesville, right now, on the station that is first with local news, News Radio 1070. With best-selling author and director of communications at the Sorensen Institute at UVA, Coy Barefoot.
In an effort to keep us, everybody in the community plugged in, which I feel is very strongly is one of the missions of this program, is to, take somebody who doesn't have time to go to all these public hearings and all these meetings and things that are really constantly going on in our community. Take those folks and give you an opportunity just to flip on your radio in the kitchen or in the car and get sort of plugged in about what's going on, what are the issues, who are the players, and really what you need to know. Why you need to know it, why you should care. That's probably the number one mission of this program. So in that vein, we have Bill DeRocher joins us from Fluvanna County, and to sort of update us about Fluvanna County, and it's something we want to do more of on this program, is bring in some regular guests from Louisa and Orange and Green and Buckingham and Nelson, just to sort of keep folks in Charlottesville and Albemarle informed about what's going on in these outlying satellite counties vis-a-vis growth and development and crime and other issues such as that. So, Bill, now we were talking in the break. You have been in Fluvanna just since 2001. You're a self-described come here, and you're an international economist. You were with the U.S. Commerce Department for a number of years. What exactly did you do there?
Well, we directed the trade and investment policy issues and promotion activities with Latin America and the Caribbean. So the experience is primarily in the Western Hemisphere.
Which is pretty critical. That's really huge, because not only are they our neighbors, but there's a lot of American corporations that have P.O. boxes in that part of the world.
Exactly. And one of the things that was going on in the last decade I was there was, of course, the move towards democracy. And one of the interesting side notes to that is one learns very quickly that everybody has a very different definition of what democracy means. And so as a result, efforts to provide powerful suggestions didn't always work. they had their own way of doing things.
Well, as somebody who probably is, you are an expert on this, what's your take on Castro and what's going on in Cuba right now? Evidently sick, but not necessarily dying.
Right.
Is control still with his brother? Is he taking it back, or do we know?
Oh, as far as I know, the control is still with the brother, but it's like two peas in the pot.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He's been in the shadows for 50 years nearly, and he's not going to emerge except as a caretaker, I'm sure.
Why is it? I've never understood why we were so eager to, you know, get investment and stuff into Vietnam, for example, but not Cuba. Just on the face of it, it seems to make a lot of sense that we would move very aggressively from a commerce standpoint to try to change Cuba versus just shut them off. And there's folks who say, well, that's just the Cuban American population who, you know, argue very strongly that they don't want to see that happen, that they want to see Fidel choked.
Yeah, I think it's a five-letter word, and I think that word is Miami. And I think that is a powerful constituency, very clearly focused, and have been able to carry the day. And it has escaped many in Washington who have been careerists how they have managed to do this for almost 50 years.
Yeah, but the folks in Miami don't even see that commerce, as Thomas Jefferson said, commerce can be a much better weapon than our army.
Well, that's quite true. And I think not only commerce, but ideas. And we seem to have been reluctant over the past half century to play that.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, because I think we could have really accomplished a lot more. And I think, frankly, what we're doing in Vietnam is a perfect example of what one can accomplish.
Yeah, how it can work.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill DeRocher from Fluvanna. Let's turn from Cuba and Vietnam to Fluvanna. I keep promising these folks we're going to get. Yeah, there's a big difference. Give us your take. You do a lot of writing in some of the local papers about Fluvanna. You really have your finger on the pulse of what's going on down there. Let's start real quick with just some background. How many people live down there right now, and sort of a snapshot of Fluvanna County, which if folks don't know, if you're looking at a clock and Charlottesville Albemarle was in the center, Fluvanna County would be at about 4 or 5 o'clock.
And 3.
And a little bit of 3.
A little bit of 3. Well, there's about 25,000 people now. There were a little over 20,000 at the 2000 census. And it's about the fourth largest in the metro area, if you will, of the Thomas Jefferson Planning District. Growth there has been quite rapid in the past 10 years, and so it has a high growth rate. But when you consider if you get 300 or 400 people on a 20,000 base, you're not getting a lot of people, but the percentage increases fairly quickly.
Right. And the folks who live there?
It's primarily a bedroom county, I think it's fair to say. Lake Monticello has about 40% of the population, and at the last census tipped from a retirement community to a community with families preponderantly.
Interesting.
So the retirement people are diminishing in Lake Monticello as young families move in.
And the retirement people are just not moving in closer to town, and I guess a little bit both, not leaving Lake Monticello and not as much retirement going
well,
in.
Well, there are new homes being built in Lake Monticello, although it's now 90% built out. It was resales and the like. And, of course, older people and retiree people tend to go their way, and new people come in and buy their homes.
We jokingly in town refer to that as Lake New York. Is that accurate?
New York, New Jersey, and Northern Virginia has a fairly strong contingent.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful down there. It really is so pretty. If folks have never driven down into Fluvanna, it really is. You sort of it's very different. There's a different feel to it once you start heading down 53 and you start really getting into the heart of Fluvanna and the Lake Monticello area. I mean, even the land looks a little different.
The topography is quite different. It's not flat, but it's not like Albemarle, for example,
right,
that have real mountains.
It gets less mountainous and hilly and starts to roll a little
yes,
bit more.
Yes, and you roll down to the James.
Right, absolutely.
In fact, I was out there with my editor today driving down. You just kept going down Route 6, down Route 6 to Columbia.
What about the economy in Fluvanna? Is there much industry, business?
No. In fact, I was amused to see that Charlottesville's fathers and mothers have decided that two different designs of CVS are not welcome at a particular spot in Charlottesville. I can assure you that most people in Fluvanna would love to see a CVS regardless of the architecture. It's a very rural county still, and the primary economic engine is, of all things, forestry. There's a lot of agriculture, but it's not a big moneymaker. The largest employer is the public school system, probably followed by the Food Lion. So that gives you an idea of the dynamics.
And that's the folks who don't commute to UVA or Charlottesville.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Wow, that's really something. So it really is a publicly funded infrastructure as well as a publicly funded economy, largely.
Yes, yeah. And the tax burden clearly falls on the homeowners and the property owners.
And what's that like? Is the are those rates property value?
The property tax rate is low. It's roughly 59 cents, and it's going to skyrocket with new school development. I think the biggest thing, though, is the percentage is about 2/3 of all the revenue comes from taxes on real estate and property.
Gosh.
Now, in and of itself, that is going to be different. I mean, not that different from, say, Albemarle. But, of course, Albemarle's businesses are tied into that. And since Fluvanna doesn't have a lot of business, it does fall on the landowner and homeowner.
We're talking with Bill DeRochet of Fluvanna County, getting a Fluvanna County update. Fluvanna County Watch will be a regular installment here on Charlottesville Right Now, as we hope Nelson, Buckingham, Orange, Louisa, and Green, bringing you information from the satellite counties in Central Virginia. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Bill DeRochet is a former international economist with the U.S. Commerce Department, retired to Fluvanna County, and is now a Fluvanna County-based journalist, and joins us in studio to talk, get our little Fluvanna update. Tell us about some of the politics in Fluvanna County, Bill, because, you know, you spent many years in Washington, so you certainly understand federal politics and federal bureaucracy and how things really work in Washington. Tell us what it was like then to come down to little old Fluvanna County.
Well, fortunately, Tip O'Neill had it right when he started, and he said all politics are local. And when you get down to a place like Fluvanna, it becomes even more local. And there are 5 districts in the county, 6 supervisors, and the lake has 2 of those. So
Wow.
it's an interesting dynamic because you've got six supervisors, so in order to get anything passed, you need a two-thirds vote, 4-2, and there have been a number of issues that have died because of a tie vote. So you really have to play to get four on your side, or another three on your side if you want to get anything done. And I think one of the problems that the county faces is that form of government, in that we haven't seen any real progress on land use issues or the water pipeline, and I suspect we can talk about those. And so as a result, things don't happen quickly. Now, some would, of course, argue that that's a good thing, but nevertheless, you put off making decisions.
Yeah. What's not happening in Fluvanna right now that probably should be, from your standpoint?
Well, I think one of the most divisive issues is land use and what to do about rural preservation or preservation.
Which, of course, we hear they're grappling in with Albemarle as well.
Yes, but Albemarle appears to be quite far ahead of Fluvanna. This is a new concept for a lot of Fluvanna. 55% of the land in Fluvanna is designated as rural preservation. Substantially below what is the case in Albemarle. But at the same time, they haven't decided what they can allow with that rural preservation. For example, the zoning, when they instituted zoning in Fluvanna, everything was agricultural by definition, and then things moved out of agricultural. So the preponderance of land still is agricultural, even though it is neither farmed nor forested.
There's just nothing being done with it.
Nothing's being done with it.
Yeah.
It's waiting for something to happen.
And if a developer comes along, he or she has to apply for a special use permit get it rezoned?
By right, they have, they can build a house on every 2 acres. So if you have a 100-acre parcel, you can build 50 homes. Of course, that assumes away roads and the things, the setbacks and so on. But what they have done, and what Albemarle, I understand, has been looking at and is now being mandated by the state in a, high growth areas, is cluster development. And Fluvanna has a very stringent requirement that you can only develop 25% of the land and 75% has to be open space. So to take the previous example, if you could build 50 homes and that 100-acre parcel, you'd have to build it on 25 acres and 75 acres would remain open.
Wow.
As an effort to preserve open space.
Yeah.
Now, the state mandates.
And the developer still gets to build as much homes.
But on a smaller
scale. But on little
smaller
postage.
Lots.
Yeah, much smaller lots.
Exactly. And in the state mandate, I believe they mandate 40% open space. So you can see that it's
much more aggressive
in
Fluvanna.
Right.
Yeah. Now, is that a shared vision on the part of the community, you think? Or is there a lot of people who want to change that, perhaps, and see
there
more aggressive development?
There are a number of people that don't like it, but I don't think everybody clearly understands what they're trying to do. And as one person put it, if every square inch of developable land in Fluvanna were developed, 75% would still be open space.
Right.
Because of the cluster requirement. So I think it's accepted by and large, even though a number of people still don't like the concept. I think there's a fear that a new board would change it and make it even more restrictive and so on.
Of course, the natural restriction to development in Fluvanna County, just like it is in Greene, is water.
Yes, and that is a big problem. Not so much in residential development, I don't think, as in industrial or economic development.
There
it's a very serious issue.
Not enough water for like a big shopping center, in other words.
Well, or research parks or anything that requires a high use of water. There's a very few places where you could really develop in Fluvanna commercially anyway. You need good road transportation networks, which suggests 250 and 64 up by the Zion Crossroads area. And maybe over by Ferncliff, but you're not going to get a lot of development deep within the county.
Yeah, if you've ever driven through Fluvanna County, you know that it's still just a lot of old back roads.
Right, and you don't have a lot of wireless networking.
Oh, really?
Or broadband, I guess I should say,
yeah.
In some of the more rural areas.
Is it well served by like cell phone connections and towers?
No.
And it's not?
No.
Okay.
And that's another argument that is constantly fighting.
No, Bill DeRoche of Fluvanna County joins us. Wasn't there something in the recent headlines about a pipeline, a water pipeline, or
yes,
that was going to help, Fluvanna boom or something like that?
Well, that's a two-edged sword because some people don't want it because they're afraid of a boom, because they're afraid of growth. Louisa County and Fluvanna entered an memorandum of understanding, a couple of years ago to build a pipeline from the James up Route 15, more or less, to Zion Crossroads. And then Louisa would take over, and then the women's prison would also be served by it, as well as Fluvanna County Schools and the development. Fluvanna has received a permit to draw water from the James, but there's been no movement on the pipeline. And it's they better hurry up, because it started with $19 million, and now we're talking $30 to $35 million
a couple years later.
In
costs for the pipeline?
Yes, in today's dollars.
And in just 2 years, it's doubled in price.
Close to it. Close to it, yeah.
And how much money do they have on hand?
A lot of that steel, they complain. They have about $3 or $4 million for design work. Would clearly go to a bond.
Yeah.
Would have to be bonded.
And Louisa and Fluvanna proposed to split the costs.
Yeah.
Because they would both benefit from this
right.
water. And that would bring water all along that corridor.
Right, into the new developments across 64 that are occurring in Louisa.
Yeah. Wow, pretty interesting. So what's the any other maybe not hotline headline issues in Fluvanna that or even down at the lake that folks are talking about?
Well, primarily taxes. Taxes are now 59 cents per $100 on your real estate values, which is low relative to the other areas around. But they've got an $80 million school bond going forward. They're going to have a number of county infrastructures development, excluding the water pipeline, such things as water sewer expansion in certain areas of the county, human services, library, teen center, a whole bunch of things being talked about that are going to cost money. And the tax rate brings in about $250,000 for every penny of taxes. So to fund all of this, taxes are going to go up substantially.
Yeah. And I can imagine there's a lot of folks down there on that lake who don't like the idea of paying
more. Well, it's not just the lake. It's a lot of the county. I mean, in one sense, the lake is probably more liberal than the rest of the county in some areas.
Oh, well, that's an interesting point. So maybe they could stomach. And, of course, a lot of them are from very high tax, New Jersey, New York, Northern Virginia. 59 cents is still good. 69 cents is still good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, well, and compared to Charlottesville, 99 cents is still good.
Right. Right.
Bill DeRoche, I look forward to having you join us again with an update on Fluvanna County. I appreciate you coming in. This interview will be archived in its entirety at SevillePodcast.com. In the next hour, Thomas Mann and Norm Ornstein will join us. They've got a new book, The Broken Branch, How the U.S. Congress is Failing the American People and How to Get It Back on Track. I'm sure you, Bill, saw a little bit of that when you were in Washington.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see whether it's the executive or the legislative which is on top at any given point in time.
Yeah, and evidently these two guys, which I'm sure you knew
of,
yeah, they're very famous. I saw them on C-SPAN last week. They believe that Congress is the preeminent branch of our government, and that we should expect more from it than we're getting.
Well, I think the debate's gone on for a couple hundred years on that, so it'll be interesting to hear how they take on it.
Absolutely. And we invite you, dear listener, to join the conversation at 977-1070. Let's take a quick break for some national and local news right here on News Radio 1070 WINA.